the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. From Adam till Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah, whenever someone looked at the desert of Karbala, they had shed tears. On Thursday, the second day of Muharram, year 61 of the Islamic calendar, when Imam Hussein stepped onto a land, his horse stopped and didn't move. Imam Hussein asked one of the villagers, "What is the name of this place?" They answered, "Qadiriyya." Imam Hussein asked it, "Does it have another name?" They said, "Nainawa." For the second time, Imam Hussein asked, "Does it have another name?" They answered, "Karbala." Hearing this, tears swelled down Imam Hussein's face and said, "O my Lord, I take refuge upon you from grief and mischief." From the beginning of the day, Imam Hussein's convoy was surrounded by Ho's army. It was near noon when a messenger from Kufa appeared, with him carrying a message from Ubaydullah, telling Ho to take it hard on Imam Hussein and keep him in a tight position in a land without water and shelter. Ubaydullah's messenger was supposed to see if Hur took actions and reported to Ubaydullah. After getting the letter, Hur informed Imam Hussein about the letter contents. One of Imam Hussein's companions stood up and said, "Oh, the grandchild of Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, fighting this army right now will be much easier than later on. For my soul in hand, I will swear that in the future, lots of soldiers will come to get us." Imam Hussein answered, "I will not start the war." However, so Imam Hussein and his companions continued their journey until Zuljanah, his horse, stopped. Imam Hussein looked at the land, and this is how he described it: "This place is the place that we will become martyrs, and our blood will flow down our bodies, and our graves will be placed." Ubaydullah's messenger, his name was Malik ibn Nasr. He was a relative to one of Imam Hussein's companions named Abu Sha'tha. Abu Sha'tha recognized him and in private called him. He said, "I wish you were dead and you wouldn't have become one of Ubaydullah's companions. Do you know what you have done? Do you know who you brought this letter for or what's in it?" Malik replied, "I don't care what I have done. I only obeyed my leader and the oath I have sworn for." Abu Sha'tha said, "You made a mistake. By doing this, you lost this world and you bought yourself the fires of hell. For Allah in the Holy Quran had said, there are leaders that will guide humans to the wrong path, and they will end up in the fires of hell, and on the day of judgment, they will not be supported. Your leader is that type of leader." Unfortunately, Malik was those who didn't pay any attention to these words. He turned away and left. Seeing the sight, Abu Sha'tha didn't say anything and stood quietly. Imam Hussein's convoy set out a tent, and on another corner of the desert, Hur's army set out a camp. At that time, the news about Imam Hussein reaching Karbala reached Ubaydullah. Ubaydullah wrote a letter saying, "I heard you reached Karbala. Yazid told me I mustn't sleep restfully and eat warm bread until you obey Yazid." After Imam Hussein read the letter, he tossed it away and said, "The people who are looking for the happiness of the other creatures and aren't looking for the happiness of the Creator, they will never become happy."
After I go,
be strong, Zainab.
Don't cry so,
be strong, Zainab.
You have go.
Be strong, Zainab.
Don't cry so.
Be strong, Zainab.
You have to fight.
Be strong, Zainab.
Show them what's right.
Be strong, Zainab.
You task is great.
Be strong, Zainab.
This is our fate. Cry.
Be strong, Zainab.
After I die.
Be strong, Zainab.
Your task is great.
Be strong, Zainab.
This is our fate.
Be strong, Zainab.
Don't let Sukaina cry.
Be strong, Zainab.
After I die.
Strong, Zainab.
Stand up to Yazid.
This letter doesn't have any answer, and the writer of this letter shall be punished by Allah. It has been said in history, Imam Hussein's first speech in Karbala was in front of his children, his family, and his companions at the beginning of his entrance. This is what he had said. O my Lord, we are the family of your Prophet Muhammad, which have been casted away out of our grandfather's shrine. And Bani Umayyah have treated us with cruelty. My Lord, help us against these group of opposers. Then he continued, people now are the living dead who takes religion as a play of tool and fluent in their tongues. So long it has some taste for them and so long it provides their daily needs. And when they are tested, very few of the religious people come out. Then he praised the Lord and sent blessings to the Prophet of Islam and said, surely what has happened to us is obvious. The world has changed and inverted, and the goodness have been reversed. For even the leftovers of a cup is not even left for us. It's like a dangerous and unpleasant pasture. Don't you see that justice isn't being applied? Don't you see that invalid action aren't being prevented? It is now when a believer would want to meet his God. And I don't see death as anything but happiness, and a life with opposers as anything but hateful and grief. Then one of Imam Hussein's companions stood up and said, the grandchild of Muhammad, the Prophet of Rasulullah, we heard your speech, and if we were to live for all eternity in this world, we would have chosen you and move in your path. Then another of Imam Hussein's companions stood up and said, O, the grandson of Muhammad, God has favored us by sending you among us. And we will be friends to those who are friends with you and enemies to those who are enemies of you. Then, one by one, everyone stood up and said something and to show their loyalty and trustworthy to Imam Hussein.
Throw burn down the tents.
Be strong, Zainab.
Soldiers will be sent.
Be strong, Zainab.
Stand up to Yazid.
Be strong, Zainab.
And you will succeed.
Be strong, Zainab.
Throw burn down the tents.
Be strong, Zainab.
Soldiers will be
sent. Be strong, Zainab.
When you see my hands.
Be strong, Zainab.
Soldiers do not shed.
Be strong, Zainab.
Look after Ali.
Be strong, Zainab.
He's sick, you can see.
My
head.
Be strong, Zainab.
More tears do Hashem. Look after Ali.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. We are explaining some of the causes of why the Imam Salamullahi Alayh decided to go to the plains of Karbala and to fight with the little numbers that he had. We explained yesterday that the key event that took place right after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resulted in that event. That is the major event that led to the Imam making the decision to go out there and do what he did. Another of the events that took place very close to the passing away of the Holy Prophet that was also key that led the Imam to do what he did was what happened and what we've heard many times that is said, Hasbuna Kitab Allah. At the time of the second Khalifa, the narration of the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was banned. And he is narrated to have said, Hasbuna Kitabullah, the book of Allah suffices us. Before I get into why this happened, let's see if this sentence truly makes sense. When we look at the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he's been narrated to have said many times to people to write down his sayings, to narrate his sayings. He who saves 40 of his hadith will be in paradise, and the likes. When we look at the verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the one who is supposed to interpret the Holy Quran. He's supposed to explain to us what those verses mean. If the verses say that we need to pray, who is it that should explain to us how that is done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ. You have to tell the people. We explain to you, and you explain to the people. The entirety of the religion of Islam could not have been sent down and revealed in the form of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that book is supposed to contain the keys to all that we need, not all the details. Let me give you an example. I met a brother in California a few years back. And he said, he had a very interesting story of accepting Islam. He had accepted Islam at the age of 54. And he said, one of the most interesting parts of the Holy Quran that interested him in accepting this religion was the daily prayers. He said, I was looking for a daily routine of spirituality. What am I supposed to do? And when I saw that in the book, I really admired it. And I wanted to know how I'm supposed to do that. He looked for months and months for a center where he could learn how to pray. This pillar of the religion, as it's been said in the hadith,
the sayings of the Prophet and the Imams, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, has not been explained how it is done in the book. For if all the details of the ahkam were mentioned in the book, it would be numerous volumes. And this book of guidance, which according to hadith, is the ahdullah, it is the oath of Allah with the people, and according to hadith, we're supposed to read 50 verses of it. If this book were to be 50 or more volumes, there would be no sense in people reading and reciting these verses on a daily basis. It would not interest them to go from beginning to end and go through all the great sayings, all the great points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us. People don't have time to go through all of that if it would be 50, 60 volumes. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, the beliefs about the hereafter, the ethical points, and the rulings, the details of these, it would not be possible to gather in this book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book that the one who is supposed to explain the details is the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So according to the holy book, if we were to act according to it, we have to take the sayings of the Prophet. So why is it that we see that at that time it was said, Hasbuna Kitabullah, and the recording, the narration of hadith was banned to the extent that companions of the Holy Prophet were kept within Medina. They were not allowed to leave and to go to other cities and to spread the words of the Prophet. If they were caught, some would leave. If they were caught in other cities, spreading the words of the Prophet, they would be sent back to Medina and kept there. Anyone that wanted to leave Medina, any of the companions of the Prophet that were with him and knew more about the religion, if they were to leave Medina, they had to ask permission. Why? As we explained, the Khilafah that took place after the Holy Prophet, they separated between the aspect of guiding people and ruling over people. They said that the Prophet had two aspects. One was ruling and the other was guiding. And these two aspects, although they were done by one individual at his time, they don't need to be done in that manner. So we will take over the ruling aspect, governing the people. In practice, they realized that if they were to practice this, they would not be able to do it unless they keep the people ignorant of what the Prophet had said. Otherwise, if the sayings of the Prophet about Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayh, about the Ahlul Bayt, were spread, who would accept the leadership of someone that is much, much lower than Amirul Mu'mineen and is not even comparable in the sayings of the Prophet to Amirul Mu'mineen? Also, if they were to be spread, the narrations that had to do with the Prophet appointing Amirul Mu'mineen as his successor would also be narrated. And that would also leave them without a legitimate cause of rule. So this is why they banned it. They didn't want people to hear that the Prophet said, "An Ghadir, من كنت مولاه فهذا علي مولاه." They didn't want the people to hear all the details of it, how it was set up. They didn't want the people to hear that from the beginning of when the Prophet spread his message, he spread it with the successorship of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That in the famous gathering of his relatives, the Holy Prophet asked for three times, who will accept my message so that they will be my successor? And only Amir al-Mu'mineen stood and accepted. And the Prophet declared at that point that he, Amir al-Mu'mineen, would be his successor. In numerous other occasions, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had explained that Amir al-Mu'mineen would be his successor. One of which is the famous saying that "Anta minni bi manzilati Harun min Musa." Your relation with me is the same as that between Musa and Harun. The same way that when Harun would leave, when Musa would leave the city, Harun would be his successor. The Prophet says that Amir al-Mu'mineen would also be the Prophet's successor. Now, a little point about this particular hadith that sometimes is mentioned. They say that, okay, this hadith tells us that when the Prophet left the city, Amir al-Mu'mineen is supposed to take his place, not after him passing away. However, there's a point in this hadith that does not allow us to accept this explanation, and that is that in the continuation of this hadith, it says, إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. Why does the Prophet mention after himself? He says that after me, there will be no prophet. If he's only letting the people know that when he's not around in the city that Amir al-Mu'mineen will be taking his place, then why mention that after him there's no Nabi? So we realize that this hadith has got much more depth than that explanation. The Prophet is explaining that he will be his successor. So what they tried to do was to keep the people from the teachings of Islam. Also, the result of that would be, or one of the reasons why they stopped that, was that they knew much less than Amir al-Mu'mineen. It is narrated from the second Khalifa many times that if Amir al-Mu'mineen was not there, he wouldn't have been able to make his decision. He would have died. Because Amir al-Mu'mineen knew all the details of the Ahkam, and if people would see when something comes up, the one who is ruling knows much less, and the other individual, Amir al-Mu'mineen, knows much more, then why would they accept that rule? So Amir al-Mu'mineen was contained in Medina much more than anyone else of the companions. He was not allowed to leave, so that these words would stay in his chest and they would not be able to spread them in different places, so that they could continue their rule over the people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us understand the sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, the Holy Prophet, and to help us spread those and act according to them. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.